Elder Steve McNure, home church is Mount Zion in Adrian, Georgia, and you're the pastor at Mount Zion Church. God bless you, Brother Steve.
Good to have you with us.
Good to be here, brother.
Move us out of your way.
Pray for me, please. You know, when the preacher says pray for you, he means it, by the way. He means it very much. I was thinking, and this is not my text, but I was thinking of this while we were singing, the seriousness of worship, you know, of worshiping in spirit and in truth. Scripture says we must worship in spirit and in truth. Scripture tells us to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. You know, in the Old Testament, when we look at their worship, when they burnt the offerings, they burnt the flesh, didn't they? Burnt the flesh completely off. So when we come to worship, that's what we are to do. Burn the flesh. Kill the flesh, see? Turn away from the world just for a little while so that we may be holy and acceptable to our God and center our thoughts on Him just for a little while. Pray for me as we try to preach to you today. Brother Brad and Brother Lonnie were talking at lunch, and Brother Brad said, Brother Steve preached on the preservation of God's Word not too long ago, and oh, he really did a good job. Well, I'm going to preach on it again, Brother Brad. The Lord would be my helper. So pray. Pray that he will, because it is something, by the way, now, what I'm going to speak on today, brothers and sisters, is a hill that we must live and die on. And I want you to understand that, because all these new so-called Bibles that are out there is an absolute attack on the kingdom of God, and it is an attack on the Word of God. And I want you to understand that, and I hope that I can bring this to light. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones was a Welshman, Protestant preacher, and I'm going to read a quote that I wrote down from him, and I'm going to say a hearty amen to it even before I read it. We are told it must be put in such simple terms and language that anybody taking it up and reading it is going to understand all about it. My friends, this is sheer nonsense. What we must do is to educate the masses of the people up to the Bible, not bring the Bible down to their level. Don't dumb down the Bible is what he's trying to tell us here, okay? Turn with me to the Psalms, to the 12th chapter of the Psalms, and let's read together. And we'll start from verse 6, I believe it is. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Let me ask a simple question as we start this afternoon. Do you believe that God has preserved His Word? Yes. Amen, right? Yes. Amen. We owe a great debt to men. And my mind just went blank. I forgot his name.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, isn't that bad, isn't it? We owe a great debt to men who took and translated this Hebrew and Greek from the original text into the English language. And some gave their lives, by the way. One was burned at the stake for it, you know. Was burned at the stake. And one of the things that he said before he died was, you know, he prayed to God that the eyes of the King of England would be opened and that he would understand that these words need to be shared with the children of God. And if you look at the history of the King James, and I'm not going to go too much into that, but you can see how God did bless that effort and how that Bible has moved right on into America. And there is no doubt that the King James Bible is the inspired Word of God. Now, there's many who will claim that, no, that no Bible is inspired any longer. The only thing that is inspired is the original text. Well, look at 2 Timothy. Let's go to 2 Timothy here. And 2 Timothy 3rd chapter, 14th verse, we'll start. He says, but continue, the Apostle Paul is telling Timothy, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, notice what the Apostle Paul says to Timothy. Thou hast known the Holy Scriptures since you were a child. Holy Scriptures. Inspired Scriptures. See? And Timothy was not reading the original text. Timothy was reading a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy, and et cetera, et cetera. But the Apostle Paul says they're holy. They're pure words, okay? God's words are pure. What did our original text say? They are pure as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Why seven? Completeness. Perfection, if you would. Perfection, complete. Nothing needs to be added to it. Nothing needs to be taken away from it. Amen?
Amen.
As a matter of fact, the Lord tells us, don't you add to it. Don't you take away from it. You know, if something's in the Scriptures, it's important. Will you agree with that?
Amen.
If it's in there more than once, you better start paying heed to it. Because this is in there more than once. Deuteronomy, 4th chapter. Turn with me. Deuteronomy 4, second verse. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. As a matter of fact, if you do add to it, and if you do take away from it, seems to me, according to this verse of Scripture, you're going to have a problem keeping the commandments of God. There's the first place we see. Do not add to the words of God. Do not take away from the words of God. Let's go to Proverbs. And we'll be in the 30th chapter of Proverbs. Proverbs 30, and we'll go down to the 6th verse. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. And by the way, let me go ahead and say this. I'm going to show you some lies today. Keep that in mind, okay? But here's the second place that we find not to add to the Word of God. Revelation, 22nd chapter. Now, before I read this, I know that we cannot lose our eternal salvation, but when we read this, I want you to think about something. I want you to see how serious God is about His Word. Revelation 22, we'll start in 18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Is he serious about it?
Yeah.
And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Here we have found three places that tells us do not add to the Word of God, do not take away from the Word of God. But what does man do? We can write it better than God. And see, just like I read to start with, the idea is we're going to simplify the words. And see, the great deception is this. The great deception from the King James Version and these modern versions is we really don't change anything. We're just using simpler words to make it easier for people to understand it. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to realize if you change one word, you change the meaning. Do you not? And let me say this. You change one word of God, it is no longer pure. It is no longer God's words. Do you agree with that? Absolutely. Amen. Amen. All right. I want to show you now in the 36th chapter of Jeremiah. I'm not going to go and read all of it. I'll tell you what, we can go and read a little bit of it. 36th chapter of Jeremiah. I'm going to tell you the majority of it, and then I'll read maybe a couple of verses toward the end. Jeremiah was told to write the words of God, and he did, and they were showing it to this king here. And to make this long story short, the king took out a penknife and cut it and then threw it in the fire and burnt the words of God. Well, first thing God did, told Jeremiah, write them again. That's the first thing. Then he says, 30th, this is the 30th verse. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have none to sit upon the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out in the day to the heat, and in the night to the frost. And I will punish him and his seed and his servants for their iniquity, and I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem and upon the men of Judah all the evil that I have pronounced against them, but they hearken not. Lord killed this man and threw his dead body in the yard, didn't even bother burying it, and said, I will punish his seed after them and generations to come for what he did. It's very simple. If you mess with the word of God, God's going to mess with you. It's that simple. This is the word of the living God, and we have it right here in our hands. Let me ask you a question. Do we take it for granted? I saw a video recently of some Chinese Christians who were getting a Bible for the first time. They were opening the crate, and they took this, and they did this. Scared to death somebody was going to take it from them. Tears just streaming down their face. How precious. How precious. How blessed are we to have the Word of God. Now, I want to compare just a few things and show you how bad and how evil that these modern versions are. And by the way, let me go ahead and just say this so you'll know where I stand. They're the books of Satan. Throw them in the trash. Do I need to repeat that? They are the books of Satan. Throw them in the garbage. And I'm fixing to try to show you this. Turn with me to 2 Samuel. 21st chapter of 2 Samuel, the 19th verse. Now, when we were... let's see if I'm right there. Yes, 2 Samuel 21. That's right. 2 Samuel 21 and 19. When I was recently preaching on this, I asked Brother Brad's children from the pulpit, Benjamin and Annabelle, I asked them, who killed Goliath? Later they came to me and they said, you caught me off guard. But they answered. They did answer it. David killed Goliath. We've known this since we were children, have we not? We've known this. Look in the 19th verse of 2 Samuel here on this 21st. It says, and there was again a battle in Gob with the Philistines, where Elhanan the son of Jehoiakim, a Bethlehemite, slew the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, the staff of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. So we know that David killed Goliath, and then we see here a man named Elhanan killed the brother of Goliath. All right, let's look at a couple things. The ESV is the English Standard Version. It's one of the most popular modern versions. Listen to this reading. And there was again war with the Philistines at Gob, and Elhanan, the son of Jehoiachin, the Bethlehemite, struck down Goliath the Gittite. So here's the English Standard Version that says Elhanan killed Goliath. What did I mention earlier about lies? Here we go. That's a complete lie, is it not? That's a complete lie. That's the English Standard Version. The New American Standard, Elhanan killed Goliath. The Christian Standard Bible, Elhanan killed Goliath. And on and on and on and on. So there's the lies, right? This is just a drop in the bucket, brothers and sisters. And see, why am I preaching on this? Because I've seen primitive Baptists with these modern versions. That's why I'm preaching on it. Throw them in the trash. This is not an attack against you if you have one of these. I'm just telling you, go throw it away and get you a King James Version. And by the way, This Bible that I have in my hand with the center column that's done by the World Press Publisher, they don't even make them anymore. They stopped publishing them. And I think it might get harder and harder to find the King James if it keeps going the way we see. 1 John, 5th chapter. 1 John 5:7, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. The English Standard Version, it's not in there. They omit it. Did you hear what I said? Absolutely denying the Godhead. Absolutely denying the three in one. They leave it out. Can you imagine this? The New International Version, they leave it out. The New Living Translation, they leave it out. The New American Standard Bible, they leave it out. Do you see what I'm saying? Lies after lies after lies. If they do not put this verse of Scripture in there, they're denying the Godhead. Now, what did I tell you these books were? They're the books of Satan. They do not want you to know the truth. They want you to steer away from the truth as much as you can and follow the god of this world. That's what they desire, to follow the god of this world. It's dangerous. Listen, this is an attack on the kingdom of God. We are to put on the whole armor of God. And by the way, you don't put on armor without going to war. Do you understand me? That's why you put on armor. It's not just for defense, by the way. Do you think prayer is just for defense? Prayer is for offense too in this war. This is an attack on the kingdom of God. The Scripture says that we are to put on the whole armor of God so we can stand against the wiles of the devil. What do we stand on? The inspired Word of God. See? This is what we stand on. It's our sword. It's what we fight with. Absolutely. Daniel, 3rd chapter. Turn with me. This is the place where, of course, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego wouldn't bow down to the false gods, so they are thrown into the fiery furnace, right? Daniel 3:25, he said, "Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the fourth is like the Son of God." That is the King James Version, showing us the eternalness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The English Standard Version, "He answered and said, but I see four men unbound, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt." Listen close. "And the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods." Did you hear that? What did I say these books were? Here's the New Living Translation. You'll love this one. "Look," Nebuchadnezzar shouted, "I see four men unbound, walking around in the fire unharmed, and the fourth looks like a god." Denying the eternalness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do you see the dangers of these so-called Bibles? They're not Bibles. They are not the Word of God. I have heard a preacher say that if you don't, if you just find the King James the hardest in the world and you just put it over here on the shelf and it collects dust and you just won't read it, then it's okay to read these other ones because they're the Word of God too. They're just not pure. Brothers and sisters, listen close. The Word of God is pure. If it's not pure, it's not the Word of God. Throw it away. Put it in the trash. Burn it. Let's have a book burning. That'd be fun. I'll light the candle. The Christian Standard Bible. Let's go to Micah. Let's go to Micah, second chapter in Micah. King James says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." They're showing the eternalness of our Lord and Savior because He is from everlasting to everlasting. Look at the Christian Standard Bible. "Bethlehem Ephratah, you are small among the clans of Judah. One will come from you to be ruler over Israel for me. His origin is from iniquity, from ancient times." His origin is from iniquity. Our Lord does not have an origin. He's always been, see? And He always will be. And here's one that's saying He has an origin from iniquity. The English Standard Version, "But ye, Bethlehem Ephratah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days." Denying the eternalness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And by the way, this, what I'm reading you, is just a very much drop in the bucket. Drop in the bucket. The idea, I looked and I think the majority of these modern versions, you know, compared to the King James, about a little over 5,000 changes, something like that. What did our Lord say? Don't take away from my word. Don't add to my word. Because it's pure. It's complete. It's perfect. You know? And again, we need to educate ourselves up to the Word of God. Not dumbing down the Bible, in other words. And for time's sake, I'm going to close and let these other brothers come forth. I think I've got my point across, don't you?
Yeah.
Hebrews. First chapter, first verse. "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds." I hear many from the religious world say things like, "God spoke to me, and I heard Him, and He told me to go do so and so," whatever it may be. God certainly does impress things on our mind. But I want you to understand that God does not speak to us like that today. If you're hearing voices in your head, it might be the devil. You hear me? Because this is how our God speaks to us today, through His written word. This is how He speaks to us. This is why it is so precious. This is why it's so precious. This is how our Lord speaks to us. Cherish it, brothers and sisters. Cherish it all the days of your life. Cherish it. And these others, remember, this is an attack on God's kingdom. Stand. Put on the whole armor of God and stand against the wiles of the devil. And let's make sure that we, as Primitive Baptists, when we walk into the house of God, bring with you the pure word of God. May the Lord bless you. My prayer.